Hello, listeners, and welcome to the third episode of Geniuses, Poets, and Artists, the improv company's interview podcast with members of the improv community here in Singapore. Check us out at improv.sg to see if there's any improv coming your way. We've been doing classes, shows, and also lots of interviews ever since the pandemic has started. So, come say hi. Today, my guest is Jean Peng. She is a member of the company Players here, one of our house teams. She is also an aspiring translator, and she is an accomplished artist with one of the most fun stickers I've ever had the joy of owning. We talk about lots of things, including her art, her dog Robin, and of course, improv. And she has found improv to be an amazing thing for her, with many positive impact on the way she's leading her life. So, stay a while and listen. Hi, welcome to our third episode. Today I have with me Jean Peng. Hi, Jean.
Hey, what's up?
Right, Jean is a member of the company Players, and she's currently in Korea, and she is a translator, I want to say. Am I right?
Aspiring translator / illustrator.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us who you are?
So my name is Jean, and well, I was doing illustrating work before I moved to Korea to study literary translation, which means I'm studying like how to translate fiction and poetry. And I graduate in another year and a half. And yeah, I'm still trying to keep up with my illustration work on the side, even though it's been difficult. And as for improv, I can't really do anything about it right now because Korea still has a 5-person limit. So actually the 4-person limit, because 5 is illegal. Yeah.
Ah, okay. So it's still a bit of a lockdown going on in Korea.
Yeah, the numbers keep just going up every time. Like, we think it's getting better, just like, wow, another 100 people got COVID.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Okay. That sounds like it's a bit of a bummer to deal with. I'm sorry you're going through that. But that said, you know, you could totally do a duo or a trio.
Or even
a quartet.
Good thinking. Oh, well, like I would like to propose that with my best friend, actually. And she lives like in a different province.
But okay, yeah. Well, that's geography is hard.
Korea's big.
Yes, much bigger. I can't imagine. So I was talking to, I think, Daniel the other day, and he was saying that, you know, when you live in the UK, for example, oh, this is Paul and Daniel, when you live in the UK, sometimes people actually live like entire towns away and they commute every day for 2 hours. And I'm just like, no.
Yeah, that's how I went to college. So my major, most of the professors were in Incheon, and then my boyfriend's house was in Seoul. So if I have to go to school in Incheon, I wake up like 3 hours before and then ride 1 hour train ride to the main campus in Seoul, and then take a 1 hour shuttle bus to Incheon.
Okay, yeah. Geez. that seems like a lot of travel. This is probably why like people listen to podcasts, right? You have these extended periods.
Oh yeah,
of time.
I actually listened to my first podcast on the shuttle bus.
Yeah. Right, just 2 hours of downtime, can't do much. Reading might be hard because you get motion sickness, but you can listen.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to us on a long commute, hi, I'm sorry for you. Okay. So right now, are you also traveling that much?
No, I live 5 minutes away from school by foot.
Nice. Okay. Okay. But your friend, the one that you might do a duo with at some point in the future, maybe? Is in another province?
Yeah, she's still living in Incheon. Nice area.
Okay. So what's your improv origin story?
So I think it was last year of college, and then me and my best, okay, so I've like brought her up a couple of times. So her name is Rosa. Mm-hmm. And we both wanted to do something very different from what we usually do. She writes fiction and sometimes poetry, and I was drawing, and then we wanted to try something very, very different for both of us. So I wanted to do pottery, and she was like, yo, look at this website. And it was basically just like an improv 101 kind of thing. And I was like, improv? You mean like being on stage, acting, that kind of stuff? Like, nah, I don't think so. So I thought she was really joking. Turns out she wasn't joking, and she's quite a convincing person. And we went for our first jam. And after that first jam, I was like, actually, this is not bad. I thought I would freeze up and stuff, but both of us, we actually had a lot of fun. And then I think right there and then we decided on signing up for the 101. And then so I did the 101, and I was almost going to do the graduation show, like the 101 graduation show. But before that, I had to move back to Singapore. So I guess I did like 80% of my 101, and I came to Singapore. And then I looked up the improv company, and I went for the taster session. Is that what it's called? Taster sessions?
Sure, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, but I kind of like this is like a really, really like introduction to what improv is kind of thing. So then I think I spoke to Miguel or Hazel, and I said, is there any way that I can just play like a jam? And then I got invited to the WhatsApp group, and then I was like, but I kind of want more of this. So then I started talking to various people who said that there were different improv groups in the improv company. And I've never seen any show. I was quite new. Like, I think it was just like within weeks of moving to Singapore. And I was like, yeah, I mean, obviously I can't go for a show. I don't even know where these things are happening. And then I think I waited a few more months to get to know more people. And then suddenly I get this Facebook message from you.
Me?
Yeah. And you're like, do you want to come, like, just play with us? And I was like, okay. But then, like, I didn't even know that, like, it was like a kind of like an audition. I mean, it was kind of like an audition.
Yeah, no, you're right. I had to look it up. It's true. This was way back in 2019, like
it was May, right?
Actually, no, it was April, late April. So basically 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and then
I don't remember
why I messaged you, but I mean, my guess is that you had come to some jams and been around to the shows and talked to people, and so that was probably part of it. So if you're listening and you're wondering like, oh, I'm in the Singapore improv scene, how do I get to join a team? Go do stuff. Go talk to people because that's how community is built. Yeah. Okay. So you came for the, I guess it was audition? Mm-hmm. Yes, it was an audition. It was a bit of an informal thing. I think we were looking for new people at the time. So I believe you joined around the same time as Afiq and probably Yiling.
Yep.
Okay, so that's your improv origin story, and then I guess you did some shows with us.
Yep.
And then you got accepted to the thing, and then you left.
Yeah. Still a little bit, like, sad about it, but especially because we were doing Story Spine, and I felt like I was really learning so much from that, because I mean, I haven't even done long form before I joined TCP. So, like, I was learning so much. Like, even just reading that book on Story Spine was like really good for me, because I learned so much. Yeah. So, and then I was kind of sad, because then it's like, you know, we were going somewhere, and then now I don't even have a team, like, in this country. Like, like, there are no such things as like groups, like different groups.
Oh, really?
Here. So I think they have one group, and then they they're quite dedicated people. They're really, really dedicated, actually. So
Okay, so it's not so much like an amateur kind of scene.
You know how like TIC has different improv vibes? Like there's Shakespeare and then there's musicals and then there's like other ones that I've probably never even heard of. Here's just like one group and then they do a bunch of stuff. But it's all within the one group. That's from what I know. So yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think that delves a little bit into how different systems work in different countries and how the scene is developed. So if you're talking about, say, the US, for example, some of the collapsed theaters might have a house team kind of system where they maintain it and then they chop and change depending on how they need. Sometimes they have a lot of indie teams, which is a bit more similar to Singapore. And I guess sometimes, you know, it doesn't really happen. So I think prior to us, there wasn't much of a scene in Singapore. There was maybe one or two teams that didn't really teach or join, let new people join. So yeah, it really depends on where you are and in which stage of development the scene is.
Yeah.
Have you thought about doing improv online?
I mean, I actually went to a session, like this was when I was still in Singapore, and then SCI, which is the Seoul people, SCI had an improv session, but James, if you're listening to this, it wasn't the best. Now, James is my buddy, but like he made us play like, sorry, I was late for like, I don't know, it felt like half an hour. Do you know that game?
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably not a half an hour kind of game.
I was like, when is this ending? And it just didn't end. I think he was like, kind of like, I think it was their first improv jam.
Okay. Yeah, lots of teething problems when you're going online. I mean, we've had our share, but you know, we don't have to go talking about them, which is great. Okay, but there's also a lot of, I mean, if you're keen on doing any kind of improv and, you know, online is the only way, there's a lot of people doing improv elsewhere as well, just general things. But you know what, that's really up to you. And of course, it's a little bit difficult like, because it's not the same, you know, you're not in the same room and sometimes connecting people online is a bit hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, what is your personal favorite improv thing?
Improv thing?
Yeah, like it could be a group, it could be a person, it could be like maybe let's say it's Afik, for example. Hey Afik, what's up? Just saying you seem like a viable candidate. Anyway, other than that, you know, it could be something else, maybe a style, maybe a scene you did once a long time ago that really stuck with you because you know it was that moment of like amazement. You know, anything at all.
I really like how you said improv thing. I feel like that should have trademark symbol together with it. And improv, I and T should be in capital. Improv thing.
Okay. But I'll think about it. Answer the question.
In this poetry class that I'm taking, our professor made us read forgot the guy's name, but he was basically talking about rhythm and how in many aspects of our daily lives, rhythm is a very natural thing. It's kind of like second nature for us. And in poetry, he was basically talking about like which words are emphasized and then like, how can we tell when a poem has ended? And, you know, that's usually when the rhythm has changed, something like that. And then I actually talked about improv when my professor asked about what we thought about the reading, because I think we were doing Story Spine and it was like a series of pretty bad rehearsals, I would say. Like, we weren't very, like, we still weren't used to the format, I guess. Mm-hmm. And along with many other issues, but there was one thing that we did, and I don't think it was exactly Story Spine because we ended on a beat. Okay, first I just want to say I have, if you hear scratching noises, that's Robin trying to
Hi Robin
dig a hole. Yeah,
Robin's your dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because this is a podcast and we can't see anything, but we can hear him.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Robin.
Yeah, he's just being him. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So, it wasn't the story spine format per se, but we actually created a really good storyline with several really good characters that were strong, and then all of them were related to each other in some kind of way. And I think it was the first time that we were kind of lifted from some kind of plateau. And that moment for me, like when we ended on that beat, which I only knew was a beat because Asher said so, it was special for me because I was like, wow, we all kind of went for this. And it's like a cushion landing, you know? Like after a bumpy ride, and then suddenly we're just landing on a cushion very nicely. So recently I talked about that moment in class and how in terms of like rhythm, I felt like we were all writing the same one, kind of. And then I remember that. Improv things as well, like definitely all the people that I've become friends with in TCP. You guys are all very special to me.
Ooh. Okay, they'll be glad to hear that.
Yeah, I love you guys.
Oh, awesome. Do you think you'll be coming back to Singapore?
Yeah, definitely. Like, as soon as the borders open, I think I'm going to make a visit. I hope I can do that. I don't know.
Okay, hopefully. Maybe late this year, maybe next year. Fingers crossed.
I hope so. Well, and Singapore's doing really well.
We are, yes, all things considered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, do come check us out. And you know what? If you're coming back, let us know and we'll slot you into a show somewhere. We're doing a ridiculous number of shows these days.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm so sad that I'm missing so many of them.
Yeah, a lot of it is, I don't know how to phrase this, it is Miguel's doing. Miguel, if you're listening to this, it's you.
Hi, Miguel. I miss you too.
Yes. He is working very hard and he has booked many, many slots in the National Gallery and other venues, which is why we are doing so many shows. Yes.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of it. I really enjoy the parts when I'm on stage. The parts where we are off stage and National Gallery is saying, hey, pay us. That's the part I don't enjoy so much.
I see. Understandable.
Yeah, but you know, that's improv, right? I think, again, it goes back to the usual problem. Like, everyone likes doing improv. Not so many people enjoy the organization part of it for good reason. Because improv is fun. Organization is not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, how about you? How would you describe your relationship to improv?
I think improv has made me a more confident person. Considering that I really wanted to do pottery and I didn't even imagine myself being on stage or like just like going autopilot with no script was kind of scary. And then honestly, sometimes when I'm on stage, And I'm the kind of person that can laugh at anything and like even the stupidest joke will send me laughing. But when I'm on stage and I'm the one making the joke, like somewhere in me, like I'm just like, wow, that's a really good joke. But like I'm not like laughing. Then I'm just like, wow, where is this coming from? Like I feel like I'm a different person. You know what I mean? Like who is this? Like so and then sometimes I say things that I never thought that I would say. It's kind of like, it's like learning about myself too.
Okay.
And also I have a lot of issues being vulnerable and a lot of intimacy issues that I feel like I've gotten very much, I feel like, just like a little bit better because of improv. just because, like, you know, I've been forced to do like eye contact exercises. You have to compliment your partner. Like, really, I remember just like staring into Jester's eyes. And like, wow, first of all, my neck is hurting. Second of all, I never looked at anyone in the eye for like this long. And it's actually okay. Like, I'm not dying. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. I mean, I'm happy that improv seems to have had a pretty positive impact. This is great. This is great stuff. I didn't, you know, to be perfectly honest, I didn't really know that you felt, like, you know, this lack of confidence or anything. You seem fine during TCP practice. So, yeah. Cool. Cool. Although, looking back at the messages that you sent way back when after the first practice, and you said that you were always so nervous and anxious when you go for jams.
Oh,
and
my God.
Huh? Really?
I have no idea how much I remember so clearly that day before I went to meet you guys. I was at Clark Key an hour early just to calm myself down.
Okay.
So I was just walking and walking and walking, and I just remember there was a really nice sunset that day, thank God. And then I was just like, I mean, it's okay. Like, even if they don't like me, you know, I'm sure other people like me. I was so nervous and I was like sweating. And I was talking to my best friend and my boyfriend, and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I feel like I'm gonna hurl. And then, I was, and for several sessions after that too, I was equally nervous. So I was always at Clark Key super early just to like get out some of that. But when I'm playing, like, that's the thing. It's like when I'm doing something and I'm in a scene, it's like it all goes away. And I'm like, who is this? You know?
Has that at all translated into your non-improv life?
Oh, I feel like definitely, because I used to be, I wouldn't approach people first, but now I'm kind of pretty good at making friends. So I was the one who like started the conversation when we started school. We had the introductory meeting. I was the first one to ask them for their numbers and start a group chat. For people who don't know me, like, I like K-pop, and I got into this group called Seventeen, and I was like, I need a friend to do this thing with me. Like, I want to be excited with somebody. Like, so then I actually got on Twitter and I just messaged this girl who basically tweeted that she's also looking for a friend, and she's Korean, so another, like, more reasons to be nervous. But yeah, I did it. I was just like, hi, I'm not Korean, but I read your tweet and I think we should be friends. And now we're friends, like, talk every day. We've also met.
That is cool. You mentioned this. I remember this. And we were, I think you messaged the group. Like, and we were like, are you sure you want to do this? This is a stranger, right? And then you're like, yeah. And then you did it. And now you have a friend. So I guess we were wrong and you were right.
Yeah, I think I specifically said, I'm going out to meet a friend I met on Twitter. And then everyone was like, what?
Good on you. Good on you. I think it really does. I think, first of all, like, doing that is, I couldn't do that. I'm also old and cynical, but, you know, that's great. But also, you know, coming for the practices, even though you felt so nervous, which, again, let me repeat, I did not know this at all. That's really something to really step out and to be seen and to put yourself out there. That's really a good sign, and I think it deserves recognition, you know. And you got accepted, which is one thing. But something you said earlier, you know, I think, hey, if any of the new 101 or 201 graduates, you guys hearing this, honestly, you'll find your group. You just need to put yourself out there and, you know, let yourself be looked at. Because even if we don't like you, someone else will.
I also just want to say that it could seem like you're never going to find a group. because that was how I felt. But if you really just talk to random people, like things that they'll happen. Like they'll just kind of know your name, I guess. And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. But you have to take that step, and you know it does take a bit of courage to do that. So you know, take that step, and we'll support you even if we don't necessarily. I should stop there.
Okay. Just a bit. Yeah.
All right. All right. So other than improv, we mentioned K-pop. Is that what you're the most interested in aside from improv?
No. It's just, I think K-pop is kind of like more of an inspirational thing.
Okay.
Because first of all, the music and the lyrics, and this is because I understand Korean, so the lyrics really mean a lot to me. Mm. So whenever I need comfort or something, I listen to like my favorite songs, and it like kind of gives me a peace of mind. And I think we were talking about this like in the group chat where someone was asking like, oh, it was Jester who was asking like what makes you spiral and stuff like that. I used to do that a lot when I was younger. And then, yeah, I found like comfort in music.
Hmm.
I mean, not just K-pop, but like in general, I grew up like listening to pop punk and stuff like that. So the lyrics really like in general, what I'm saying is like lyrics really have this effect on me. And I just happened to have found like some K-pop groups that really have meaningful messages in their songs. And therefore, like it's what keeps me listening to K-pop, but also certain members in the group, they're like who I want to be. So like recently the one that's been inspiring me the most is like this guy called Hoshi, and he's like super super confident, a very very confident person. He always believes in doing things like shamelessly, quote unquote shamelessly, like just giving it, you know, just being the biggest and the best person you can be. And that's how I'm trying to be right now, because with school I'm a bit struggling with like even though I'm studying translation, there are still many Korean words, and Korean's still hard. It's like a hard language for me. So not only do I have to read hard words, I have to translate them into English, which is also not my native language.
Right.
Like, I don't know what Singaporeans say is their native language, but compared to people from like America or the UK, where, you know, they grow up speaking English and only English, like we grow up speaking Singlish, Chinese.
I think English counts probably, but I have one language.
So you're in the Chinese improv thing.
Yeah, it's the bad Chinese improv thing.
Well, that's still some level of Chinese, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's A level of Chinese.
Yeah, but so I've been feeling like kind of down from that. I'm like, this is so hard. Why am I even in this program? Like, people are so much better than me here, kind of like that. But then I just think of like, yeah, you know what? Hoshi would not have this attitude. He would think that he can do anything. And then that kind of keeps me going.
Okay.
So it's like in the back of my mind, that's like what I use to keep me going. But my main interests are mainly like, well, these days translation is really big because I'm trying to really make something out of it. And even though I've had like, I think, like a year and a half of art block, I recently started drawing again. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that was really nice for me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, if you'd like, we can drop a link to your shop in the podcast description.
The shop is not open yet.
Oh, well. Okay, you have like an Instagram or something?
Yeah, yeah. It's Robin by the Window on Instagram.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. Cute.
Yes.
Okay, we'll put that in the podcast description. Go, so please check that out. Very good, very good. Looking forward to more of your work as well. So, drawing is the next thing then? Is that the thing that you're getting back into now?
And
translation.
If I can only find more time.
Time, yes. Okay, I still have your sticker, the one that says you don't chiba. Great, there goes my clean rating for this episode.
Clean rating? That's not how you want the podcast to be. You gotta be dirty.
No. I mean, so far it's been 3 for 3 where I've sworn on each one. So yay.
Nice.
Yeah, I really like that the sticker, and I've had people ask about it. So, you know, if you want to do it again, there's a market for sure.
Yeah, I think some people wanted shirts, but I wasn't rich enough to do that yet.
Okay. Like the shirt that Robin is wearing, because so for those who are listening and have never seen this sticker before, it's basically. An angry-looking small dog, Robin, in this case. And he's wearing a shirt, and on the shirt, he's frowning, right? So he's frowning in like a ridiculously cute way. And on the shirt, it says, "You don't jibai," which, for those not from Singapore, it's don't be a cunt, I guess. Or, I guess that's kind of close.
Yeah.
It's a really cute sticker. Very not safe for work. Not safe for kids. But very cute.
Yes, I think that's maybe still my best work. I don't know, people seem to really like that one, so.
Looking forward to more of that. Wonderful. So, has improv influenced either your translation or your drawing?
Drawing, definitely.
Ah, okay. How so?
I want to say, this was when I was in Singapore, but when I was going through art block, I tried to do this thing where I just drew without anything in mind. It was kind of like a practice that I did. So it's just like stream of consciousness drawing, not worrying if it looks pretty or not. And I think that's quite like improv-y. But also for writing, I did try that with my friends. I want to say a few months ago, where we did stream of consciousness writing. And yeah, It was just like, if you do stream of consciousness writing, like you set yourself like maybe 5 to 10 minutes, write whatever. And it doesn't even have to be complete sentences. And then from that, see what you have and then make it into something. Which I think is also quite improv-y. And I found it was quite helpful because there's certain things that you don't feel like you want to put it down on paper or like draw it out because you don't think it's good enough. Then once you have all of that, once you have all of that down, like that full nonsense, like that is like, I would say, like whatever is in your mind and the truest that you can be, and like no one's gonna look at it anyways, but it's like just take that and then see what you have and then work with that.
Okay So it kind of unblocks you in that way, allows you to get past that the inner filter and just get some work done and then see where it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I'm glad this helped. It sounds like you've had a really good experience with improv overall. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, which is why I'm kind of sad that I can't practice it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let us know. Hopefully, Korea gets better soon and the activities get started up again. Or, you know, you can come back and then come say hi.
Yeah.
Or we could do something online. Maybe that could be a thing.
Not just for me. Like, if you guys ever do something online, I'll be happy to hop in.
All right. That's cool. Let me think about that. I think that could be really interesting as well. I just think that these days, like, since a year ago, like, the amount of improv online has just mushroomed beyond any kind of conception prior to the pandemic, just out of sheer necessity. And then people are getting a bit more used to it. So there's a lot more options out there now.
How's that platform that we used for a while?
No, that's not. I think there are others now, but that particular one has kind of, I believe, it's bitten the dust. So that's okay. It'll get better. There'll be others, and those will be better, and we'll learn from that, our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So, one last thing, Jean. So, thank you for having this wonderful conversation. Very interesting, very fascinating. Where are you headed next?
Like, in terms of improv?
Oh, no, like, life.
In life, I like to think... So, I'm working on trying to get some stuff published, like, small scale. So, I think... I forgot when it was, but I submitted a poem, a translated poem, to this magazine, which is called Chogwa, by the way, Chogwa. If you search it on Twitter, it's Chogwa Zine, and you can read my issue. I mean, my poem in issue 6, I think. And they're calling for submissions again. So I hope I'll find enough time to submit to that. And then other than that, honestly, I just want to finish my homework. just baby steps into translating. But also I want to open my shop again. And I told myself I'd do it in April, but things don't always work out. So I think maybe June, if I'm really taking it slow, hopefully May. And then maybe I'll bring back the You Don't Ji Bai stickers.
Again. Ooh, excellent.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm so excited. Like, I have so much energy and I want to do all of these things, but I just don't have enough time.
Okay, well, that's great. Time is hard, but you have ideas, which is, I think, the first battle won. So looking forward to that. Thank you so much, Jean, for spending this time with me. We'll put links to a bunch of things that you mentioned in the show description. And that's it for today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Hope to see you around soon.
Yes, for sure.
Well, that's it for our third episode of Geniuses, Poets and Artists. That was a very fun conversation for me personally because honestly, I just love talking about improv and learning how it has had a positive impact on people is my jam. Now, we're running a little competition for our loyal listeners, especially those that have managed to listen all the way to this point. So, listen up. This is how the competition works. If you email me at kim@improv.sg with the correct answer and you're the first one, you get a prize. Now what's the question? The question is, what does it say on Jean's sticker with Robin, the one that we mentioned multiple times during this podcast? What does it say on the sticker? Email me at kim@improv.sg and the first person wins a rubber chicken pin. I am waiting for your emails. In the meantime, this brings to a close the third episode of Geniuses, Poets and Artists. Thank you for listening all the way to now. I love you. You guys are great. Remember to eat healthily, hydrate plenty, exercise a lot, and speak truth to power. Until next week, this is Kim.